Teaching this week's message from Dr. Bobby Gupta, kicking off the 2018 Missions Fest entitled Multiply at Eastbrook. We welcome you to join us for our weekend worship services on Saturdays at 5 p.m. and Sundays at 8, 9:30, and 11 a.m. For more information and additional resources, please visit eastbrook.org.
Good morning, church. I have a question. You should have an answer, okay? Are you glad to be in the house of the Lord?
Yes.
Yes, it's always good to be in the house of the Lord. And I ask this question to our church in Chennai every Sunday that I'm leading or preaching or ministering inside that church. I say, are you glad to be in the house of the Lord? And the people of God say,
yes.
And it's wonderful. And I'm so glad to be here during the course of these next 10 days that you're celebrating the awesome things that God is doing in our world. God is doing incredible things, and what he wants us to do is to catch a vision of what he's doing. And you know, that very statement in Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 14, what he's saying is that we should understand that his mission is that somehow the knowledge of God should cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. That means there should be no place where there is no knowledge of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And he's saying that if you're going to see that happen, we got to change. There's got to be something that we need to move from so that we can. And he's saying the most significant way that it's going to happen if Eastbrook begins to understand the word multiply. Just imagine a year from now, if every one of us reached out to just one more person. The church would not have grown by one person. It had grown by all of us that are sitting here, and the church would go to another level. The question is, am I willing to be part of what God is doing and understand what he's doing and begin to be part of the multiplication process? And God wants us to have that. Before we get there, let me introduce my family to you. Would you like to meet my family? Yeah, I'm sure you all wish, and I wish I could have brought them with me, okay? But they're not here. My wife that lives with me is not here. That's terrible also. But my wife's name is Lynette, and we have three children. And our three children's names are Maitri, Sushil, and Deepak. Now, did you get them? Would you like to get them? Okay, very, very easy. How many children do I have? Okay, if you remember that I have three children, my daughter's name is Maitri. Like my three sons, my three children, my three daughters, my daughter's name is?
Maitri.
You got it. Now, if you want to say it the way she likes it to be said, you would put your twister on it and say Maitri. But Maitri is fine. Everybody calls her Maitri because I keep telling the world her name is Maitri, okay? So everybody calls her Maitri. She's a missionary in Spain and is working with World Venture, and God is using her in a mighty way. And she has a Moroccan husband, and they together are working to reach people from North Africa. Now, our oldest son, his name is Sushil. And when you think of the word sushi and just add the letter L to it, you'll get the name Sushil. All right? And he works with HBI. He's the Director of International Ministries of Hindustan Bible Institute and HBI Global Partners. He lives in Charlotte, North Carolina. And our youngest, he's in Columbia, South Carolina, the most loving kid that we have in our family. He walks in the door, you must give him a hug. If you don't give him a hug, you're in trouble. He's going to be a bear on you. And he's no small bear. He's a big teddy bear. And you know how you remember his name? You know how you play ice hockey? You play ice hockey with the puck. Don't try to play ice hockey with the puck, okay? He's 280 pounds. Now let's see how good you are. Tell me my children's names now. My daughter's name is? And then my son? And then our youngest? Yeah, wow, you guys are smart class. And you know, if we keep doing this through the rest of this day, we will change the world. The rest of this week, if we keep picking up what your missionaries are saying, what your pastor wants to say to you, and what we're trying to share with you of how Eastbrook can begin to ask the question, how can I become part of a movement that is actually going to finish the Great Commission in one generation? You know, we're living in that world, and it's very, very possible that God could take a movement like us and cause us to have significant impact. And this word multiply is a very, very significant word. In 1974, there was a great world conference on world evangelism. It was held in Lausanne, Switzerland, and it was called for by Dr. Billy Graham himself. And you know what he said to the people? He said, guys, I want us to ask the question, it's 1974, in the next 25 years, before we turn over into the next to the year 2000, what must we do, what changes must we make so that we can have the greatest harvest in world missions? You know, I look young. Do I look young, guys? Absolutely. I know my daughter is 41 years old, so now I told you that I'm not as young as I look, okay? And so I want you to understand that I was part of that generation that actually emerged into the task and said, we need to make a change. We need to change things for the kingdom of God. And I believe we are at that same moment that Billy Graham was to think it's possible that we can do something significant and have the greatest harvest. But I want to say, because of all that happened in the last 40 years, if we as a missional movement begin to answer the question, Lord, what would you have us do so that we can have the greatest impact and maybe finish the Great Commission, it's possible. When he called for that missional conference, he said, guys, I want you to understand, we need to make some changes. And one of the changes that they made was that we need to move from the process of absolutely just thinking in terms. You know what? We need to stop thinking in terms of just preaching the gospel, proclaiming the gospel, going places, and baptizing Peters to actually making disciples for Jesus Christ. Because when they studied that, and the missionaries came, and the scholars from the universities came, and the Bible colleges, and all the nationals that were present, and they studied that work together, they would make statements like this. If this is what the scripture is saying, then what we need is to have small worshiping communities everywhere so that the gospel of Jesus Christ will become accessible. And they made an awareness that the only imperative in the Great Commission was to make disciples for Jesus Christ. Amen? What is the imperative? One more time. What's the imperative? And that's the only thing God wants us to do. And you know what? The person that had to make the greatest change was Dr. Billy Graham. Because you know what? He was the one that was holding the crusades. He was the one that was calling for decisions. He was the one that was having people fill out cards. He was the one that was actually asking people to stand up. He was the one that was actually modeling the idea that we need to make people raise their hands and have the largest number of people say yes to Jesus. Nothing wrong with it. The problem was, it didn't make disciples. It only added to the church. And you know what was happening in the church at that time? Between the years 1965 and 1974, the church was growing by 1% or less. After 1974, in the first 10 years, when they began to make that change, and you know what they did? They moved from just preaching and calling for decision to making disciples. And when they started the process of doing that, they actually moved from addition to multiplication. And the church began to move and change. And what change they began to see was, in 10 years, they moved from 1% to 3%. In the next 10 years, they moved to 5%. By the year 2000, the church was growing at an average annual growth rate of 7%. Do you know what that really means? Every day, 165,000 people were saying yes to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand. Yeah. The Lord is at work. The only difference was now the people were no longer being miles wide and an inch deep. They were really getting rooted in the Word of God and in the person of Jesus Christ. And all of a sudden, they began to bear fruit. Fruit that was amazing. Fruit that were bearing fruit. And they were bearing much fruit, and they were bearing lasting fruit. and amazing things began to happen in the world. And I believe that in the next generation, we can complete the great commission of our Lord Jesus Christ. It was Ralph Winter who kept saying this. Every generation had the opportunity to finish the great commission in their generation. The problem is, not everybody were listening to what God was calling them to do. They were all about themselves, carrying out their own mission. And he said, when the day comes that we shift from doing our thing to God's thing, we will begin to see the fulfillment of the Great Commission. The question is Elbrook ready to make those changes? Are you ready to make those changes? Because you see, God uses his church to accomplish his mission. Amen? Amen. Now I'm going to ask you a question. Who is the church? Are you sure? Only a few of you say we are. So I'm going to make all of us say it. Is that okay? All right, I'm going to let us do an exercise. Here's the exercise. I'm going to let you take your finger up, and I want you to put your finger up like this. Everybody. Okay, got you. Everybody, yes. The last time I found a guy standing over here, and he was hiding behind there. And I told him, get up, and he got it up. But let me tell you, I'm going to ask you a question. Who's the church? And here's what you're going to do. You're going to say, I am the church like that. Is that okay? All right, here we go. Who's the church? Oh, you can't even move the roof. How about bringing the roof down? Okay, let's try it again. Who's the church?
Us.
One more time. Who's the church?
Us.
I'm going to ask you a second question. And the second question is, whose responsibility is the Great Commission? And you're going to go like this to Pastor Matt, okay? Is that okay?
Yeah.
You're kidding. All right, here's what you're going to do. I'm going to say, who's the church? You're going to go there, I'm the church. Whose responsibility is the Great Commission? My responsibility, okay? Here we go. Who's the church?
I'm the church.
Whose responsibility is the Great Commission?
My responsibility.
Yeah, you know what you did? You made an open confession to God that from now on, you're going to take responsibility for the Great Commission. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Let's give the Lord a big hand because he gave us this great opportunity. Church, you have to keep this in mind. God is at work. He's trying to accomplish his mission. He's calling us to join him in his mission. And as we begin to respond to him by faith in Christ Jesus, he's going to accomplish it. But the question is, what's holding us back and what will it take to actually accomplish this task? This morning I want to suggest from the story of Habakkuk. Habakkuk is an Old Testament prophet. And he, you know, was fully aware that Israel was God's primary instrument. God chose Israel. He said, Israel, you're my royal priesthood. You're my chosen generation. You're my nation. You're my kingdom community. You're my people that I'm going to use, and you're going to go out, and you're going to help them be reconciled to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. That was the mission of Israel. When God formed them into a nation, that was what it is. And actually, he shifted that mission to us. And he said, when Israel failed, and I gathered them as many times as I possibly could, and regrouped them like a hen would gather its chicks, they failed me. So you know what? I set them aside, and I'm using the church of Jesus Christ. So you and I are now that royal priesthood, that chosen generation. And God is calling us, and he's asking us to take part in his mission. And here is Habakkuk, he's fighting with God, and he's saying, God, how many times must I cry out to you? If you had your Bibles and we could have the time, I would walk you through the whole text. But when you go home, look at the text, okay? Look at it and see what Habakkuk is doing. He's fighting with God, and he's saying, God, how many times must I cry out to you? Oh, God, when will you see the violence that is going on? When you will see the injustice that is taking place? When are you going to look at us? And God looks at him, and he says, Habakkuk, time out. Take a moment. I got a plan. I'm not disconnected from what is going on, and I want you to understand. Because I want to tell you something. You have institutionalized everything that I have called you to do. Consequently, you can't even see what I am doing. And I want you to, he says in that fifth verse of the first chapter, I want you to look at the nations. I want you to see what I'm going to do. Because what I'm about to do, you won't even believe it. Because even if I told you, it will not happen. And I think that's our number one thing the Church of Jesus Christ needs to do. It needs to stop looking at themselves. It needs to stop looking at its successes. It needs to stop looking at the things that are around it. It needs to stop feeling sorry for itself. It needs to stop fighting with God. And it needs to look at the world, and it needs to ask itself a question: Lord, what are you doing in the nations? And you lift up your eyes and see, you know what you'll find out? In the last 40 years, the largest number of people that have come to Jesus Christ is so much greater than all the years past, all the way back to the resurrection of our Lord Jesus. Isn't that amazing? It's an amazing thing. 40 years when people listened to the voice of God, sat down and asked God, God, what changes we need to make? And they made those changes, applied those changes into the missional world. And it wasn't only about making disciples. There were a bunch of other changes that they made. And then God put his hands upon them. And all of a sudden, when you look at it, you'll see the fulfillment of the Great Commission taking place in a space that is unprecedented in the history of missions. That is amazing, isn't it? And God is saying, look at the nations. Look what I'm doing. And you know what Philip Jenkins would say to us? He would say to us, guys, the next Christendom is the title of the book. He said, for the first time in the history of world evangelism, the largest part of the church is not in the global north, but in the global south. Amazing. South America is responding. Africa is responding. India is responding. China is responding. Malaysia is responding. Philippines is responding. Singapore is responding. And God is bringing people to himself like never, ever before. And it's an amazing thing that is happening all around the world. The question is, you got to keep asking yourself, Lord, what is my responsibility in all of this? If you are doing an incredible thing and more people have come to know you in that last 40 years, what could happen, God, if we began to begin to make some changes so that we can begin to do what you're doing today, so that we can lock in with what you want to see happen tomorrow and finish the Great Commission in our generation? Wouldn't that be cool? And I want you to look at the world today. But we'll get to that. But I want you to understand the first thing he said, look at the nations and see what I'm doing. And what God did in the last 40 years is unbelievable. The second thing he says to them is, I want you to understand that the just shall live by faith. Chapter 2 and verse 4, he says, the just shall live by faith. And what I want us to understand is that God is saying, if the task of the Great Commission is going to be accomplished by the people of God, and his mission is going to be accomplished by his church, those people who claim to be people of faith must act as people of faith and in obedience. And it's so important because, you know, very easy for us to complain to God. Very easy to shelter in God. All these things are happening. I don't need to be involved. I'm only going to think about myself. And what God is saying, I want you to sacrifice your personal agenda because I have an agenda. And if you join my agenda, I'll put my hand on your life and you will make a difference. It's an amazing thing he's saying to us. It was Blackaby who said, God already has agenda. Amen? You believe that? What he said to us is that he's inviting us to join his agenda. And if we are willing by faith to trust and obey God, he'll call us to make changes in our life. And you know, when we make those changes, then he puts his hands upon us and he blesses us and makes us a blessing to the nations. And that's what he did with Abraham. He said, Abraham, I want you to leave. I want you to leave your family. I want you to leave your town. I want you to leave everything. And I want you to join me. Amazing thing. When finally Abraham left, God put his hands and he multiplied beyond his imagination. And I want you to understand, God is calling us. And when he calls us, he's going to ask us to make changes. When I went back to India, I went back to join my dad's ministry. My dad had 27 years of successful ministry, trained some of the great guys. In all of the world, they were doing ministry. And I had to go back there, and God said, Bobby, I have a new plan. I have a new program, and I want you to change. And I said, Lord, I can't change. This is my dad. He started it. No, 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 no. You want me to do something with your life? You better believe you got to change. I said, Lord, what you want me to do? He said, okay, I want you to leave that program there, and I want you to start a new program. And we started that new program. You know why? Because we found everybody that came to that old program never went back to their town. They never went back to their village. They never did the ministry that they had a passion to do. They came, they settled in the city, and they enjoyed it. And then they couldn't go back and settle back in the village. You know what God said to me, Bobby? Leave them in the village. Let them be bivocational. Let them come once every 3 months for 10 days. You train them in small increments over a period of 7 years. You train them first to be an evangelist, then to be a church planter. And then when you have finished training them to be a church planter, train them to be a discipler. When you've trained them to be a discipler, then train them to be a pastor. Isn't that amazing? He turned the whole thing upside down. And he said, I don't want you to start training them to be pastors. Train them to be evangelists, church planters, disciplers, and then be pastors. You know what happened? And I went back, I said, Lord, I'd like to, the Lord said, I want you to plant 1,000 churches. And I thought, man, that's so cool. 1,000 churches, India has 600,000 villages, and my dad used to say, we need 600,000 churches. I said, I'll go back, and I'll plant 1,000 churches, a small sliver. But you know, when I got there, my friends laughed at me, and they mocked me, and they made fun of me. Because you know what he said? We've been here 100 years. Our denomination has not planted 100 churches. In 10 years, you're going to plant 1,000? You're wacko. Go back home, Bobby. Go back to America. Those Americans have brainwashed you. Go do something over there. Don't come here. And I went and fought with God, and I said, God, I worked on my PhD so I have my own credibility, and you messed me up. And then he and I fought for a while, and he said, Bobby, you ain't going to plant a single church. And I said, really? I wish you had told me that before. And then he said, no, you'll be part of what I'm going to do, but I will build my church. You know what happened? In 10 years, we didn't plant 1,000 churches, 1,157 churches. Isn't that amazing? Think we ought to give the Lord a hand? Yeah. Today, that movement has over 840 people that are planting churches, multiplying churches, 2 to 3 churches a day. And they've planted over 11,000 churches in the movement, close to 700,000 people that have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. But let me tell you what else. Along the way, he said to me, Bobby, what is the 1,000 churches going to do? And I said to him, Lord, find somebody else because I know where you're going. You want 600,000 churches. I said, I ain't going there. They already think I'm a nut. He said, no, you're wrong, Bobby. I want 1,000,000 churches, not 600. I said, you better find somebody else. But you know, he wouldn't let me go. And I'll let you read the story. I got a book back there. And if you come back there, you can get one of those books. But you can get all the details of how he did it. But he changed the paradigm. He allowed the non-formal training to train me and then to mobilize the church. We took the training we got out of that and mobilized the local church. And the local church started to take responsibility. And pastors started to train people inside their churches. And you know what? They started multiplying themselves in the life of people inside their church. And they were multiplying churches. Each of these guys were planting like 20, 25 churches and amazing things. And people were coming to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that's how we ended up turning the church in India to plant 700,000 churches. Lift up your eyes and look what God is doing. Don't be discouraged by the things that are happening around you. Think about the most significant thing that is on the heart of God, and that is his mission to reconcile the world to himself. He made the greatest sacrifice in sending his son. The question is, are we willing to sacrifice our agenda for his agenda? And the third thing that God said to Habakkuk was, Guy, I want you to understand one thing. And the simple thing I want you to understand is that my mission and my vision is about making the knowledge of Jesus Christ accessible to every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl. And that's why he said, the day is coming when the knowledge of Jesus Christ will be accessible to every man, every woman, every boy, every girl. As the waters covers the sea, even so shall the knowledge of Jesus Christ. It's happening. It's already happening. And all it's going to take is multiplication. And when the people of God begin to understand this, and we begin to get engaged in what God is doing, you know what God is going to do? He's going to take this movement, and he's going to finish the Great Commission in our generation. Amen? Amen. The question is, are you willing to become part of it? 1974, there was a guy by the name of Jim Montgomery. He went there. He was a missionary with Overseas Crusades. And you know what Overseas Crusades was all about? It was about preaching the gospel, holding conferences, having people come to Jesus Christ. And, you know, that was what they were all. And they thought they were on the cutting edge because they were training nationals to now do it. And Jim goes there and he says, they just told me, blew my balloon. I am now told that it's not about preaching, it's about making disciples. And he comes back and he has a war with God, and he says, God, help me understand. What is this? We thought we were the cutting-edge organization. And you know what he said? God said, you're right. I commanded them to go and make disciples. But he said, I don't understand it. So he said, Lord, help me understand it. So he and Jesus had a discussion over the book of Acts, and they began the process. And they went chapter by chapter and chapter by chapter. And as they went through the chapters, he began to see how God was multiplying and how he was growing the church from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria to the outermost parts of the world, and how he called Paul and how he multiplied it, how he crossed over from the Jews to the Gentiles, and how the world was being reached. And he said, Jim, you got a whole picture and you got a good picture of it, but you missed one thing. And he said, What did I miss, Lord? And the Lord said, you missed chapter 2, where, you know what? Tell me what happened to the people that came to worship, came to know me on the day of Pentecost. And he opened the book and he looked and it says, and the people gathered daily. And they began to worship and fellowship with each other. They ate bread and they broke bread. And they also began to study the apostolic doctrines. And you know, as they began to do that, God began to do signs and wonders. And people began to come to know Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? And he says, you know, I want you to understand, if the knowledge of God is going to cover the earth as the water covers the sea, Jim, you got to have people worshiping every day in churches all over every day in houses all over the nations of the world. And all of a sudden, the knowledge of God will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. And he took that to 100 countries. And today, that's why we're seeing hundreds of people worshiping Jesus Christ, thousands all over the world. The Great Commission is moving fast and rapidly coming to closure. And we've got to complete it. And we can if we all begin to say, it's my responsibility. If this is true, what God was saying to Habakkuk, we have to ask ourselves, what do we need to do now? And church, what I'm suggesting is we need to look at what God is doing today. What is he doing today? It's quite different. There was a young boy that wrote a book. And then the title of the book is Another Way. Another Way. He's a kid of a missionary. And he said, Dad, I really like the commitment you had. I really like the sacrifice that you did. But you know what? I don't want to do it the way you did it. I don't want to do it the way you did it. I don't want to raise support. I don't want to go spend 20, 25 years of my life. And I don't want to learn this language and plant one church. There's got to be another way. And that's how the title of the book came out. He actually went and found a job. And he began to work bivocationally and serve the Lord. And as he worked and served the Lord, he learned the culture. He understood the language. He related to people. And God began to show him how can he do things differently. You got to read the book to understand it. I don't have the book, but you can go on net and you can get it. But let me tell you the story of a guy that was in our church. His name is David. David came from Andhra Pradesh. Never knew anything that's going to happen in his life. He came to fill a job in the city of Chennai. From the north of Chennai, he came down into Chennai. He came, he heard about our church, he joined our church. And when we asked him about his redemptive relationship with Jesus Christ, he couldn't explain it. You know what he said to us? Oh, my grandfather was a Christian, my parents were Christians, I'm also a Christian. That was his answer. 5 years with us, he learned how to share his faith. He learned what it meant to be a follower of Jesus Christ. He learned to study the Bible. He learned some disciplines of how to be able to transform his life and become a light in the midst of darkness. 5 years later, God takes him to Dubai as an IT professional. He meets a girl from Pakistan, and they begin to develop a relationship, and they get married. And she says, I have a vision. What's a vision? You know what? There are Pakistanis exploited here. I'd really like to see what can we do to try and reach out to them and at least give them a nice meal and have some fellowship and some friendship, and maybe they'll come to know Jesus Christ. And he said, you know to cook, and I know to teach the word. Let's try and see if we can get them together. And they together began to invite. They started with four. Today, 40 of them are meeting, worshiping Jesus Christ on a Friday in Dubai. And that is what God is doing today. The old paradigm is over. The new paradigm is in. Everybody sitting in here can become God's instrument. Whether you're working in your Jerusalem, or God is going to call you to a Judea, or to Samaria, or he's going to call you to the outermost parts of the world, you can become a bivocational missionary, and God can pour into your life. You can touch people in your working place, bring them into a relationship, and then disciple them into an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. The question is, am I willing to make changes in my life so I can incorporate that? Am I willing to understand what God is doing? You know what not things that God is doing to bring personal transformation in the lives of people? He's using this Bible study method called Discover Bible Study. Discover Bible Study method asks only 5 questions. What does it say about God? What does it say about man? What is it saying about to you? What actions are you going to take? And who can you share what you learned about God? Simple 5 questions. And you know what? All over the world, people are opening their Bibles today. They're not trying to find out who is the author of the book. They're not trying to find out when it was written, whether it has validity or not. They're not trying to do that. They're trying to say, what does it say about God? Wow. And they're beginning to discover so many things about God. He's my shepherd. He's my sustainer. He's my guide. He's my protector. He's my sovereign king. He's my everything. And he never, you know, I mean, we forget that that's what God wanted us to do with the Word of God anyway. And we do all kinds of complicated things. And then, you know, they started using this method, and they said, you know, every group can have only 10 people. And the time the 11th person comes in, whoever brought them in, starts the next group. And now groups are gathering all over the world, reading the Word of God, answering the 5 questions, growing in the knowledge of God, changing their life into becoming like Jesus. And the glory is beginning to shine. What would happen if every family started doing that at Elmbrook? And we started multiplying small groups everywhere, right in this town. And all of a sudden, people are beginning to see the knowledge of the glory of God accessible to every man, every boy, every girl. What is God doing? He's saying, look at the nations. Trust me, I'm in charge. I'm making the agenda and calling you to join me. And all I want to do is to see how the knowledge of my glory is everywhere. The question is, are you willing to be part and change enough to make time so that we together can complete the Great Commission, whether it's here in this city or it's in India or in China, wherever it is, God is saying, I'm doing something different. I want you to join me and become part of that process, and God will take you and he will use it. Amen? Are you ready? Yes. Let's pray together. And Father, we thank you that we can come into your presence at any time. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you never leave us. You're always with us. And I pray, Father, that you'll minister to us as we try to understand what you said to Habakkuk. And we will look at what you're doing. We'll know that you're still on the throne and respond like Isaiah, here am I, Lord Jesus, send me. And Father, that you would put your hand upon us. And we'll never lose your vision that the knowledge of God will cover the earth as the waters will cover the sea. And so, Lord Jesus, take us and use us. We ask this in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said,